Here's something wild. Marine animals might be rewriting their genetic instruction manual in real time to survive climate change without actually changing their DNA. The science behind this is called epigenetics, and it's completely transforming how we think about evolution and adaptation.
That's fascinating. So you're saying these creatures can actually adjust how their genes work without changing the genes themselves?
Exactly right. Think of DNA like a massive cookbook. Epigenetics doesn't change the recipes themselves, but it can highlight certain pages and cross out others, essentially controlling which recipes get used. And what's really incredible is that these changes can happen within a single generation.
So how exactly does this work at a molecular level?
Well, the main mechanism scientists are studying is called DNA methylation. It's basically like putting tiny chemical tags on specific parts of the DNA. These tags act like little switches that can turn genes on or off. And get this, in some marine animals, these switches can flip in response to environmental changes like ocean warming or acidification.
That's exactly the kind of rapid adaptation these animals need right now, isn't it? Given how quickly our oceans are changing.
Right. And here's where it gets even more interesting. Take the Pacific oyster, for example. Scientists have discovered that when these oysters experience environmental stress, they can actually adjust their DNA methylation patterns, which changes how their genes are expressed. And what's really mind-blowing is that some of these changes can be passed down to their offspring.
So you're telling me that if a parent oyster experiences warmer waters, it might somehow prepare its babies to handle those conditions better?
Precisely. It's called transgenerational plasticity, and we're seeing evidence of it in multiple species. There was this fascinating study on coral, Psilopora damicornis specifically, where researchers found that when exposed to more acidic conditions, the coral's DNA methylation levels increased significantly.
Well, that certainly adds a new layer to marine conservation strategies. I mean, if we know certain environmental conditions can trigger beneficial epigenetic changes...
Oh, yeah. It completely changes the game. And here's something really cool about the technology they're using to study this. Scientists have developed these incredibly sophisticated methods to map out methylation patterns across entire genomes. We're talking about three main approaches, each with its own strengths.
Like what? I mean, how do you even measure something like DNA methylation?
So there's this technique called MSAP, methylation sensitive amplification polymorphism, which is kind of like the old reliable of methylation studies. It's not super high tech, but it's affordable and great for studying lots of samples. Then you've got these ELISA-like methods that give you a big picture view of overall methylation levels. But the real game changer is bisulfite sequencing combined with next generation sequencing.
That sounds incredibly complex. What makes it such a breakthrough?
Well, imagine being able to create a detailed map of every single methylation site across an organism's entire genome, while simultaneously seeing which genes are being expressed. It's like having X-ray vision into how environmental changes affect marine life at the molecular level.
You know what I find really interesting about all this? The implications for species that can't just swim away from bad conditions.
Oh my gosh, yes. Like coral reefs and intertidal creatures. These epigenetic mechanisms might be especially crucial for them because they're literally stuck in place. They can't escape warming waters or increasing acidity, so being able to adjust their gene expression quickly could be the difference between survival and extinction.
That's quite sobering when you think about it in the context of climate change.
It really is. And here's something else to consider. These mechanisms might help explain why some populations of marine animals are more resilient than others. We're finding that different populations of the same species can have different epigenetic responses to stress.
So this could potentially help us identify which populations might need more protection?
Exactly. And it goes even further. This research might help us design better marine protected areas. We might need to think about preserving not just genetic diversity, but epigenetic diversity too. Like, making sure protected areas include a range of environmental conditions that could maintain different epigenetic states.
Well, that's certainly a new way of thinking about conservation, though I imagine there are still a lot of unanswered questions.
Oh, absolutely there are. One of the big ones is how stable these epigenetic changes are across multiple generations. We're still not sure if they create lasting adaptations or if they're more like temporary solutions. And then there's the whole question of how these mechanisms interact with traditional evolutionary processes.
That makes me wonder, could we somehow use this knowledge to help marine species adapt to climate change?
That's a fascinating question, and scientists are actually starting to explore that possibility. But here's the thing. While this research is incredibly promising, it's not a get-out-of-jail-free card for climate change. These mechanisms might help some species cope in the short term, but they're not a substitute for addressing the root causes of ocean warming and acidification.
Speaking of which, what are some of the most surprising findings so far?
Well, one of the most unexpected discoveries came from studying Antarctic marine worms. Researchers found that when these worms were exposed to slightly warmer temperatures, 85% of the epigenetic changes they observed were increases in DNA methylation. It's like they were turning up their genetic thermostat to cope with the heat.
That's remarkable. And I imagine we're just scratching the surface.
You know what? We really are. The field of marine epigenetics is still relatively young, and new technologies are constantly revealing more surprises. For instance, we're now discovering that different parts of an organism's genome can have different methylation patterns. And these patterns can change in really specific ways depending on the type of environmental stress.
Looking ahead, what do you think are the most crucial areas for future research?
I think we really need to understand how these epigenetic mechanisms work in natural environments, not just in the lab. Most studies so far have looked at single stressors in controlled conditions. But in the real ocean, organisms face multiple challenges simultaneously: warming, acidification, pollution, you name it.
That's a good point about the complexity of real-world conditions.
And here's something else to consider. We need to better understand the limits of these mechanisms. Just because an organism can make epigenetic adjustments doesn't mean it can handle any amount of environmental change. There are probably thresholds beyond which these adaptive mechanisms just can't keep up.
So it's really about finding that balance between hope and realism.
Exactly. These discoveries are incredibly exciting and give us new tools for conservation. But they also remind us that marine life is using every trick in the book to survive the changes we're causing in their environment. It's both inspiring and a wake-up call.
That really puts things in perspective. Any final thoughts on where this field is headed?
Well, I think we're going to see some really interesting developments in the next few years as technology improves and we gather more data from natural populations. The real challenge will be translating this knowledge into effective conservation strategies while we still have time to make a difference.